stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Tivoli Americas Pipeline Building Conference Series. The topic for today is Mission Possible: Preserve Capital and Reduce Operational Expenses with Maximo Asset Management Solutions. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Pete Carnes. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Lisa, and welcome all to today's call, where we'll be discussing how we can manage the dynamic infrastructure of a smarter planet to generate real economic value for our clients. Again, my name is Pete Carnes. I run our worldwide industry team for the Maximo business. And thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to attend this call. Our objective for this session is pretty straightforward. We want to provide you with some additional information that you can use to make calls today, get some meeting schedules, and crank that OI engine. So what we're going to do is talk through a handful of topics and then open it up for Q&A at the end. And what we'll do is talk a little bit more about asset management, why it's so important in this kind of climate where we have, you know, this cloud of economic uncertainty where, at the end of the day, companies still need to produce. They still need to generate profit. We have IBM's Smarter Planet initiative unfolding and, frankly, giving asset management lots and lots of air cover, because as we talk about a smarter planet, an infrastructure that supports a smarter planet, that infrastructure needs to be managed. That's what we're doing. We'll talk through some of the customer challenges that relates to both that economic uncertainty and the smarter planet and how we can help. And as we know today, decisions are being made or final signatures are being pushed through the CFO. So we need to be able to demonstrate clear ROI, payback times, et cetera. And we're going to talk through not only why asset management fits that criteria, but also how you can put those numbers in front of that CFO. We'll talk a little bit about the importance of industry context in terms of understanding not only our client's business, but the industry framework that they work within and how we need to align with that and establish credibility by understanding that industry context. We'll talk briefly about the asset management solution Maximo, and then we'll give you some tools in terms of client roles you can talk with, some key questions you can open up to uncover some latent or active pain, as well as some key contacts across the Maximo business that you can engage with to help you win. And then, again, we'll open it up for Q&A at the end. So our call to action here as we move to slide 3 is let's work through this presentation and help you develop an understanding of the role of asset management for a smarter planet and also how asset management can help your clients preserve capital and better manage their OPEX, OPEX being operational expenses, the difference between generating revenue and the profit that drops to the bottom line. So we're going to leverage those calling questions to engage. Let's get those meetings going. We're going to talk about developing a crisp ROI story. For those that aren't familiar with the business value tool, the BVA tool, there's a link there. That is a must-do these days to help put those numbers proactively in front of our clients, work with them so they become their numbers. We help build credibility, and we extend. Use some of the asset management acceleration plays to support your efforts, and then engage. So, on slide 4, our clients need solutions to help them preserve capital and cut costs, period. That's what folks are out there. That's what we hear from our clients every day. Across any industry, you name it, they want to preserve capital, they want to smartly cut costs, but at the end of the day, they need to balance with their operational business requirements. I think they need our help. And when we look at our customers that are using our solutions today, they're able to balance that, cut costs, preserve capital, but manage these assets not only for today, but also tomorrow. Because if I don't manage them today, it's going to cost me a lot downstream. And we'll talk through some of those client examples later on in this call. So our solution enables clients to more efficiently manage their assets and infrastructure that drive their business. Now, every business, regardless of industry, is reliant upon infrastructure to drive revenue. Whether it's a bank that's reliant upon their IT networks and their assets, but also their facilities to drive revenue, or it's a utility or an automotive manufacturer, period, asset management is going to help a company streamline operations, prepare and support the current regulatory environment, prepare for changes, as well as preserve capital by extending useful asset life, deferring non-essential maintenance, and other things. Now, the obvious question here that our clients will ask is, yep, got it, makes sense. What makes you guys different? Why is this new news? Where's the value for me? And here's the difference, and this is really where we kind of put the rubber to the road. We are very unique in our ability to offer a comprehensive asset management solution, right, which we know is software, services, and hardware, for our clients to manage the entire infrastructure. So the key word there is entire, whether it's the PCs and the networks and the servers or the facilities around the data center to the nuclear reactors and the feedwater pumps. Companies leverage a collection, a system of assets that collectively create services that help a company generate revenue. Today, most companies are relatively low on the maturity model where they manage assets and stovepipes, and that creates logical inefficiencies across the business. We can help them break down those inefficiencies, break down those walls by providing them with the solution that enables them to do that. That's where we're different. Now, for all the Tivoli sellers on the call, this is something that the HPs and the BMCs, they can't talk to. So this vision of supporting a dynamic infrastructure, that's us. We want to go there with the client. We want the client buying into this vision because we're the only ones that can take them there. So as we move to slide five, let's back up a little bit and just reset on what exactly asset management is. So it's not just about kind of what do I have and where is it. That's important, but it's about why do I have this and how does this asset work with that asset to collectively create a service that does something for my business, whether it's the feed water pump that works with the turbine and to spin the generator to put power on the grid, which is how the utility gets paid, or it's the bank that manages their network of IT assets with the facilities to get the customers in the facilities, increase their retention, drive their revenue. It's about leveraging the assets that work together to drive that revenue to support the business. So we talk about an asset life cycle that really starts with, you know, what do I need, why do I have it, all the way through operating it, maintaining it, changing things, et cetera. Across what we classify typically as five different types of assets, real estate and facilities, which includes land, different types of plants and production assets. You think mines, chemical plants, oil rigs offshore. Think about transportation and fleet-type assets, whether it's fixed or rotary aircraft to marine vessels to railroad. Think about infrastructure. If you ride a railroad or a transit, all those tracks, you're driving down the highway, that's infrastructure. Telco infrastructure, water, wastewater, all the things that we rely on every day to go about our normal lives and that companies leverage to generate revenue. And then certainly the IT equipment and networks is a core part of these asset classes, which we'll talk about in a second, is really that's a fundamental driver for how asset management's evolving. So some of the key business issues that relate to, hey, asset management can help me fix this for our clients would be just general cost and efficiencies and operational complexity that are associated with, hey, look, I have these assets. How do I leverage them to generate revenue, deliver service, and then how do I manage them in such a way that I'm dropping as much money as possible to the bottom line? Now, that's a lot easier said than done, and remember back to a few minutes ago when I made this statement that today most of our clients are managing their assets based on the type of asset that it is, as opposed to how the assets work together to provide a service. That's a fundamental difference that we can help our clients with. And for many, that's a paradigm shift that's going to lead to better revenue, better service, more profit. So that's what obviously drives the need to measure and manage. We'll talk more about that. The other business issue, which is happening today, and we should all know that it is happening today, the emergence and the deployment of smart assets create a lot of opportunities for our clients, but at the same time, there's some management challenges that must be addressed in order to leverage them. and we'll talk more about that in a few. And again, you'll see a theme here as I go through this. This is where asset management is going to help all of us differentiate against our competition because we manage the entire spectrum, the entire infrastructure. So as we move to slide six, you know, the way we talk about asset management with our clients is in a framework that we should all be familiar with. It's about visibility. Hey, look, we can help you realize your business goals because we're going to help you see across your entire enterprise. The fact that it's a pump versus a truck versus a reactor versus a server, got it. You need to know where it is, how much it costs, how to maintain it. But the way you know how to maintain it and how much it costs really is by understanding that system of assets that collectively create a service. That's visibility. Now, once you have that, you're able to better control your assets. We talk about risk here. We talk about smartly being able to reduce costs. And then we talk about automation, removing all those manual bottlenecks to, you know, not only decrease costs, but that automation is a great way to improve regulatory compliance because I'm documenting processes as opposed to having lots of manual steps. So this framework that we're all familiar with is a great way to talk about asset management with our clients. So let's now talk about the reality of the role that asset management plays in a smarter planet. So as we move to slide seven, we all know this now, that something is happening out there, and it's really picking up speed. And it's all about systems of assets and people becoming interconnected, instrumented, and intelligent. Now, as we said, this leads to tremendous savings, opens up all kinds of new rooms for efficiencies, frankly creates new business models. But at the end of the day, the smarter planet, as we move to slide eight, smarter planet is about infrastructure. If you need to drive to work or you're going to generate power or you're going to pick up a cell phone, everything we do and how companies generate revenue is reliant upon infrastructure. So the infrastructure is becoming smart. Now, here on slide A is just a few examples. We talked about smart meters in the grid in the utility business. On the infrastructure side, we talked about things like bridges with built-in sensors to monitor stress so we can proactively respond to that. We talk about locomotives and jet engines that have onboard systems using telematics for real-time diagnostics so that if there is a predicted failure, let's not wait for it to happen. Let's have the maintenance crew ready when that train hits the next station so I can solve it there. It's about data center, right? Let's reduce energy consumption because I have all new types of monitoring and visualization capabilities to help me make better decisions, et cetera. There's examples from every industry out there of infrastructure becoming smart. And smart infrastructure, as we move to slide nine, needs to be managed. When a smart infrastructure is managed, companies are going to be able to have a much more dynamic, flexible, and responsive infrastructure that they're then going to be able to leverage. But the only way they can get there is by us helping them manage that, not just manage the fleet and the facilities and the IT separately, but looking at it together, looking at it holistically. Here's what I have. Here are the services that are comprised on those assets, and here's how I'm going to manage that. That's what we do. So hopefully here you have a feel for how we fit in the smarter planet. And I'm frankly very excited about all this air cover that the corporation's providing for us and how we can talk to that. So just to give you a couple examples of how assets are becoming smarter, on slide 10, let's just briefly talk about two different ways assets are becoming smarter. The first is they're becoming connected. We talk about interconnected and instrumented. So we have traditionally, quote-unquote, you'll hear dumb iron or old assets or industrial assets. They're becoming connected. They have new monitoring points. They're on the network. They're feeding into some type of centralized monitoring system. That drives automation. That drives more predictive and proactive responses versus reactive. So there is an element there. There's also an element of more embedded IT-type devices, software, hardware, firmware, being embedded on traditionally industrial assets. You know, a great example here is the robot welding machine in the automotive manufacturing line. Well, yeah, it's got hydraulics and it's made of steel and it, you know, does some pretty industrial things, but the thing's driven by a software program and it has onboard hardware. So who buys that asset? And if there's a disruption in service, who maintains it? Or what's the flow to diagnose it? Or when there's a change that needs to be made, is that IT or is that operations and maintenance? What if operations and maintenance needs to schedule it for downtime to flush the hydraulic fluid? Wouldn't that be a good time for IT to do the firmware upgrade so the plant or the company only takes that asset down once versus twice? So these smart assets open up all kinds of interesting management challenges that we uniquely can support. And I think that's an exciting place for us to take conversations with our clients. So with the smarter planet, with the economic cloud, however you want to view it, across the world, this is the time for asset management. So as we switch to slide 11, I just want to highlight a couple of things. But you know, there's a lot of external factors that lead to, boy, now is the time for asset management. Now is the time to help our clients see this vision and to take the first steps to achieve it. So just to back that up a little bit, lots of analysts have been talking about this. You see a statement here from IDC in their predictions report from 2009 talking about exploiting tangible and intangible assets to ride out the financial crisis, preserve capital, smartly reduce OPEX. I got to drop as much as I can to the bottom line, but I got to be efficient. That's infrastructure. That's asset management. Now, we look at the stimulus plan that was just passed. There's all kinds of things here across a variety of industries that we could talk to, should be talking about with our business partners on the phone, with our customers, talk about things like the smart grid, all kinds of new transmission and distribution infrastructure. We talk about modernizing 75% of the federal buildings, which, by the way, that's, the United States federal government is the biggest real estate owner in the world. That's a lot of buildings. That's a lot of infrastructure. School modernization program, 10,000 schools. We talk about lots of investment in transit, clean water systems, federal building efficiencies. It's across the board here, folks, and this is exciting because this is not just let's build a better widget. This is a lot about how do we leverage technology to do things better with this investment money. So we should be right in the sweet spot here talking with these clients about how we can help them leverage that investment, manage that technology. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the nuts and bolts and the numbers as we switch to slide 12. We talk about addressing real challenges to drive real return on investment. And for lots of our customers, you know, it tends to fit in four or five or six different buckets, and I want to highlight a few here. The first, whenever we're managing infrastructure, and we certainly support and serve a lot of highly regulated industries, we talk about risk and compliance management. We talk about operational control, documenting and testing business processes, right? Utilities, pharmaceutical plants, hospital environments. Highly regulated, and the ability to support that regulatory environment is as much important to the business as it is cost avoidance and avoiding fines. And this is really important. We talk about operational excellence, reliability, and productivity. If I'm an automotive manufacturer, I can't afford, although we can make jokes about the current status, but if they're operating and they're supposed to be operating, they need to operate. They can't afford unplanned downtime. You know, a nuclear power plant, when they come offline, they just don't come offline. They need to purchase power from other sources to replace what they should be putting on the grid. You're looking at $1 million+ a day. Now, they could trip offline for something very simple, a very small problem with an asset that could have been caught by good maintenance. So productivity and reliability, it's all about ROI there. Talked about business agility. When the next new regulation comes down or there's a better, faster, cheaper way to tweak a business process to run their business better, well, how quickly can they deploy that? How quickly can the system that's supporting those processes be configured to support that? We talk a lot about alignment. Now, alignment can take on a couple of different factors, one of which I'll mention is that we talked thus far about managing assets in silos versus understanding how the assets work together to create services and managing to those services. We see a lot of our customers, frankly, over-maintaining their assets because they don't understand the relationship between that asset and how the business generates revenue. So a major source of ROI for our clients is realigning what their asset management program should be based upon the expectations that the business had through the services that are required to generate revenue based upon the assets that underpin those services. And we talk about things like spare parts reduction, labor, optimizing labor, and obviously reducing the cost there, doing things right the first time, a lot of ROI there. And then, you know, on the IT side of the house that are supporting the systems that are helping the business run, if we can go in and say, you know, hey, look, we can manage your entire infrastructure here, and let's talk about that, you know, with a single solution, you know, there's a lot of costs that can be driven out by removing point solutions, cutting that maintenance, reducing the administration costs on those solutions, and freeing up IT to do more strategic or innovative things. We have numerous examples of clients that have reduced, you know, 85, 100, 200, 300 systems just by deploying our asset management solution because of its breadth and depth. So when we put all that in the pot and you leverage the BVA tool, which has a lot of these factors in the relative cost savings associated with that, we're talking real hard numbers here. Again, not only, if you will, on the business side, but also within IT. That's exciting. To give you an example of this, if you switch to slide 13. So what we're seeing right now, and again, this dates back to 2006, a study that was done by Alinean, and it's only increased since then, business value analysis. So if we can help our customers do that rather than them do it with a competitor, I'd rather be proactive, right? Let's help them with that, and let's help them understand the vision that managing their entire infrastructure and why that's important, not only economically, but as they look at their business towards the future. So the graph there, or the table on the bottom, is an actual cutout from one of the small part of one of the BVA studies. This actually relates to more on the IT side of the house, which is good. And then on the right side, you see some examples of the coming out of customers in the transportation industry, some of the ROI points that they saw when they deployed our solution and then altered their business processes based on the solution's ability to support them. And, you know, let's not look at, let's say, 3 to 5% increase in asset utilization and think that's a small number. You know, if you're a regional transit authority and you can improve your utilization of your trains 3 to 5% and what that means to your fare collection and also, frankly, the perception of quality service, that's a tremendous number. Talk about warranty recoveries, 10 to 50% for a company that manages a vehicle fleet. That is tremendous cost avoidance and can really put the payback terms for a solution like this, it really shorten them. So I encourage everyone to get familiar with the BVA tool. There's a great document that goes through the value of asset management and some of the specifics. This is a conversation we want to have with our clients. Now, we want to have this conversation, but we want to have it in the context of the client's industry. And as most of us know, if we switch to slide 14, asset management, while it is a common discipline across all of our clients, does take on certain characteristics that can be specific to an industry. When we have a conversation with a utility, it differs dramatically if I'm talking to the generation folks or the transmission folks or the distribution folks. That's certainly a different conversation than I'm going to have with the pharmaceutical company. Now, why is it different? Well, it's not just that some of the types of assets that they manage are different, and we need to understand that so we can have credibility, but some of the regulatory environment that they operate within is different. Culturally, can be very different. The way that they generate revenue, in some cases, can be quite different. So as we have consultative discussions with our clients about how we can help them, it is extremely important that we understand their industry, their challenges within that industry, and frankly, the opportunities that exist that they may or may not be familiar with. And we can take a leadership position there, which is another way, as we know, to differentiate against our competition. Now, one thing I want to mention here as it relates to industry knowledge and then getting back to the BVA tool, with our asset management solution is that we do have a lot of industry expertise throughout the sales teams and the development teams and the industry leader teams that support Tivoli, but there's also a very sizable 800-person plus practice within GBS that leverages very similar tools and in some cases the same tools to do value assessments, ROI studies, business case development for our clients, and they can be a great partner here as we go forward. So with regards to the product, as we switch to slide 15, again, this is a solution play. It is about software and services. It's about working with GBS and GTS. It's a lot about working with our business partners who do a lot of very creative things with our product and put their domain expertise around it and take it to market. We do drag other types of software, such as WebSphere, the application server, DB2, certainly other aspects across the Tivoli portfolio. But if we get into what the product does and why it's unique, it is very much designed to manage all assets. I mean, we're talking about a product, one architecture, doesn't matter if it's a truck, it's a server, it's a reactor. An asset's an asset in the way that it's understood, it's broken down, we have spare parts and sub-assemblies, and we use that language on the operational side, we use different language on the IT side, but it's stored the same way, so I have that apples-to-apples understanding, and then I can link those assets to create those services, develop those service level agreements, et cetera. That helps to consolidate point solutions, as we know. A lot of this asset management solution, frankly, across the product, leverages what you'll hear folks call workflow or process automation, which is effectively a way to say that we can create, standardize, and enforce business processes across the product so that we can remove some of the manual work, which is going to obviously reduce costs and improve overall quality. But at the same time, we're talking about documenting and testing processes, which is good in the regulatory environment. There are a variety of specialized industry solution products that support some of the detailed requirements of certain industries. And one additional unique capability that's important to understand is that the product is designed to support not only how asset owners or asset managers manage their assets, but also there's capabilities for a service provider to run their business that are managing the assets that are owned by others. So think outsourced IT management or facility management, or even as we move into the aerospace and defense world, and you talk about people like Rolls-Royce, that they really have moved from selling jet engines to they sell propulsion, and they manage propulsion. So they have become really a service provider, and their business model has shifted. Product itself is very modern in terms of technology, both in the its architecture and its ability to integrate to other solutions. So on slide 16 here, let's again look at it from a little bit of a different lens. As we talk about asset management itself is part of a larger story in terms of IBM service management and the solution that is for our clients. When we look at asset management and our ability to, again, manage that entire infrastructure, there are other things that are on that same platform that really expand the value we can take to our clients and further the ROI story. We talk about Service Request Manager and Service Catalog, same architecture. We talk about the Change of Configuration Manager database, same architecture. So when we get into a conversation about the operational benefits and the apples to apples and entire infrastructure and managing services, by not only using asset management, but by pulling in the solutions that are built around SRM and CCMDB, we broaden the vision, and then that asset management story is really what helps us compete if we're competing against BMC and HP by getting that vision beyond IT and saying, well, wait a second. You know, service management isn't just about IT assets. Isn't it just about IT? It's about service management, and it's about managing the services that my business relies on or your business, Mr. Customer, relies on to generate revenue. Again, there's not an industry out there that's only dependent upon IT. So if we can expand that conversation, we can paint that vision to a client, even if there's a roadmap to get there because they're not going to buy it all at once. Hopefully they will, but it's unlikely. We can paint that vision and establish the roadmap for the client. We have really, really, really taken BMC and HP where they can't go. And that's a fun thing. Better for the client. They're more set up for the future. It's going to help them operate better today, and it helps us differentiate. So now just a bit of credibility on slide 17. The Maximo solution has been considered a leader in the asset management space for more than a decade. Here you see two very recent Gartner MQs, one for manufacturing on the left, the other for utility transmission and distribution. You see us out in front there. You probably see some other familiar names on that quadrant, but we're the leader. And that's something that we should be proud of, and that's something we should leverage with our customers. Now, just to give you a couple of quick customer studies, here you see on slide 18 just a representative list. And I think the takeaway here is that, you know, there's a wide variety of industries represented here. There's customers that are big. There's customers that are small. This asset management solution is very much designed for a global, multinational, multi-language, multi-currency rollout, but at the same time, it supports the K-12 system in the local county that has 10,000 students because they need that too. So it does scale from a technology perspective as well as in the type of conversations you have in a sales cycle. You know, we're going to be able to be successful in multiple spectrums in the marketplace. As we switch to slide 19, here's a couple of customer examples. I won't read through these. You see a few here representing different industries. Again, I think the key here is efficiency, cost savings, cost avoidance, reliability. That's what we're going to help our customers do. And if you look at these customers, BP, right, DTE Energy, Volvo, Rolls-Royce, these are brand-name companies that generate revenue based on a business model that is highly dependent upon the performance of their assets. They work with us to manage those assets. Simple as that. One thing I will note for the folks on the call, and we'll address this in a minute, is, you know, we often get the question from our clients, particularly ones that may not be as sophisticated, well, can I just use my ERP solution to manage their assets? Well, take BP and DTE here as an example. Big SAP customers, they're big Maximo customers. And what you should read into that is that companies that depend upon their infrastructure, mission-critical infrastructure to generate revenue, manage compliance, good enough isn't the right path. We want the best, and that's why they chose Maximo. So as we switch to slide 20, let's just quickly address that ERP versus asset management question, because it will come up. All of the clients you call on have some type of ERP backbone, that they leverage in their business. And that's good. That's a good investment. They leverage it. But when it comes to asset management, there's a depth that's required and a system that's designed for that type of user that is inherently different than what finance needs. And we talk about here there's some functional characteristics that are that. There's some notion of the way the user interfaces works that tie into that. There's a notion of agility and the way that I can adapt, because the regulatory framework tends to change a lot more rapidly on an operational side than it does, let's say, for accounting. So customers need to consider that. Talk about depth. Industry solutions is a great way to address that. But we should also recognize with their clients that they have made an investment, as do we, and we actually develop productized, if you will, integration adapters for the two leading ERPs that are in the marketplace. So, but again, this is one where I'd go back to Mr. Customer. We've talked about the notion of smart assets. We've talked about how your business is really looking to move from managing the assets to managing the services that those assets provide. In order to do that, you really need to understand all those assets in a common way. I need to be able to have visibility across that infrastructure to be able to take assets and create services and then manage against those services. ERPs can't do that, just like BMC and HP can't do that. We can do that. That, at the end of the day, is our biggest differentiator and what we should be talking with our clients about. So as we talk about within your clients, you know, who can you talk to, uncovering an opportunity, there's lots of different influencers, and there's lots of different folks that may be either have latent pain or active pain. We talk about folks more on the IT side of the house, IT managers, software asset managers, and hardware asset managers. Let's have a conversation with them, try to uncover. Then we go to the other side. Well, what about the maintenance managers or operations, facilities, VP of production? That traditionally is not someone that a lot of our sellers go talk to. Certainly on the Maximo side it is. That's where we're successful. But that's who we should go talk to and understand, as we switch to slide 22, let's ask them some of these questions. You know, how is your organization identifying and enacting ways to reduce costs? That's a very open-ended question. Let's see where that goes. Do they understand their asset infrastructure? What, where, why, et cetera? And this is a great way to introduce service management to a non-IT audience. Okay, you understand it, but how do you know your maintenance levels are optimal? Because if you don't understand why you have that pump and the function that pump plays to the business, how do you know you're maintaining it the right way? Maybe the business only needs it operational 80% of the time, and you're maintaining it to be 99.9% reliable. It's a great way to interject the service manager conversation. We can talk to IT about, you know, what kind of systems do they currently have in place to support, quote unquote, the business. You know, we talk about, well, you got some transportation assets out there. What do you use there? Well, what are you using for facilities? How do they do that? And we can talk to IT about, well, wouldn't it be great if there was one system that could do this? You can reduce your administration, one technology. You guys can go free up some resources to go do some more fun, innovative things. So there's lots of different people we can talk to. But that question that's in bold there, how is the organization identifying and enacting ways to reduce costs, that's what the clients are thinking about. So that's a great conversation starter. As we switch to slide 23, so here are some key contacts. You see our sales leadership team on the left-hand side. Again, we're organized by industry and by sector. Mark Rusin is the leader across Americas with four different BUEs underneath Mark. Again, I mentioned the GBS practice under Joel, as well as GTS services. There's a link there for some industry and some general sales plays that have more content. See our industry leader team there represented by industries. Now, one note there. Those are industries that typically drive about 80% of our business. If you're selling into an industry you don't see there, doesn't mean we don't have a play. We have a play in every industry. It's just some industries have a bit more depth and regulatory environment that are more complex than others that we need to delve into. And then you see our great product management team there that are always willing to answer questions. So feel free to reach out to them prior to a meeting. You know, hey, look, how would you approach this? Certainly, if you think there's something going on, engage sales. Let's team it up, and let's win. That's what this is all about. So just to quickly recap here on the points of value. First, and to me, the first three bullet points are what it's all about. It's a unified solution. One solution manages the entire infrastructure to incorporate service desk and CCMDB. That's something no one else in the marketplace can offer. It ties right in with the vision of a smarter planet. It certainly fits with the economic climate. Let's leverage that vision. The industry expertise that enables us to take that solution to a utility, to a hospital, to a pharmaceutical company, to the Department of Defense, and put it in the context of their challenges. That's a strength. That's a differentiator for us. Again, certainly on the sales side and the people we have selling, but also on our development teams, and our support teams, and our services teams, and our marketing teams. Our business is set up by industry. And then let's leverage that ROI. Asset management is known to produce ROI. We have examples. We have the BVA tool. Let's leverage that. And you can read through the other points here, which are certainly very valid. So just to recap the call to action here before we open up the call, I hope this was informative for you. I hope you're excited about Smarter Planet and how asset management fits with that. And I hope you see how asset management can really help our clients meet financial and operational challenges, not only today, but as they look in the future and see how they're going to operate their business changing based upon the way their infrastructure change or will change, we want to have that vision conversation. So hopefully this has been informative for you and you can leverage that conversation to get some questions going, get some meetings happening, generate some deals based on either active pain or by you being very consultative, you've taken some latent pain and created it to be active. Leverage that BVA tool as we talked about in the sales plays. And again, let's engage and work together to win. So with that, Lisa, I would love to turn the call back to you, open the call up for any questions that we might have.
Thank you, sir. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And if you are on a speakerphone, please make sure your mute option is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Deborah Fila with IBM. Please go ahead.
Hi. On slide 22, you mentioned about plans where you can help with an aging workforce. And I know Cognos has a work management product for aging workforce. Do you have any insight as to where those overlap?
I don't specifically, but I think I could derive it a little bit. With an aging workforce, a lot of what that is about is kind of the tribal knowledge that exists about how the organization runs down to when this particular asset sounds like this, this is what it means, right? So it's the fear of that knowledge walking out the door without it being captured. There's an element of that we try to capture in things such as maintenance plans, job plans, responses to service disruptions. My sense is that Cognos, knowing that it's a lot about information capture and analysis, is probably somewhat similar. And we're actually very complementary, with Cognos, both on the reporting side as well as the analytics and there's actually some products in development right now, both in Software Group and GBS, to leverage some of the data that's in Maximo as well as other places and leverage the analytical reporting capabilities of Cognos to better put that in front of the client.
Thank you. One more question.
Yep.
You had some magic quadrants for a couple industries. Does that tend to be true for transportation and others or not?
Good question. So it depends on the analyst. Gartner has MQs across a couple of different industries. Transportation is not one. There are other industry analysts such as ARC Advisory Group that cover transportation, and you would see us as the leader there. Depending on the segment. Just a quick example of that, transportation is a great industry for us. As you know, there's a lot of different segments within transportation, rail, private fleet, tier one aviation, marine, et cetera. We have a lot of depth across most of those segments, and actually some of those are really big revenue drivers for us. For example, if you were to look at rail for us, it was our biggest industry segment in 2008, really for not by luck or by happenstance. The sales team kind of keyed in on it, said we have these couple of unique products that some of the competitors don't have, and there was a campaign run across Southwest and Northeast IoTs in Europe, and we hit the ball out of the park, as well as a couple of deals here in the U.S. with the likes of people like Amtrak. So you'll find that where we're not the market leader, we're usually number two, which, frankly, in my eyes, means more opportunity.
Just one last question. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed who you were.
Oh, my name is Pete Karns, K-A-R-N-S. I lead our worldwide industry team in the Maximo business.
So you're on slide 23 as all other, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
As a reminder, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Gail Grasso with IBM.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. This is interesting. I know Maximo is a great product, but I think a lot of people on the call are covering the federal government, and we really need, quals that position us there.
Okay. So, and I get this is a very commercial discussion, so thank you for bringing that up. We have numerous deployments across the federal government. In fact, I tell you that in 2008 and 2007, our number one revenue-producing industry was the government. about half of which is fed and half of which is state, local, provincial. I think what we could do is take this offline. You could talk with Tim Homan, who runs our public sector business, or Shannon Ehrman, who runs our federal business. But you will see very, very numerous successful client implementations across DOD, Intel, and civilian.
Okay, and I haven't clicked on any of the links that you have in the presentation. Is some of that information available, you know, that I could just
It definitely is, but what you may want to do just with you have some direct need is just reach out to Tim.
Okay.
Or Shannon, and Shannon, if you look up Tim in Blue Pages, you'll see Shannon right under Tim.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, good question.
Our next question comes from Kelly Foreman. Please go ahead.
Hey, Pete. Kelly Foreman. Hey, thanks for the information, the references, and that's kind of where I got my question as well.
Okay.
I've got a customer that uses a ton of Maximo for their physical assets, and they're happy with that, and that's great.
Great.
But the trick is to have them say, okay, we can do the same thing on IT assets as well. So my curiosity would be is I know I thought at one point in time the Navy was using Maximo. I didn't know if there was any kind of existing BVAs that were already out there that could be referenceable, that where someone might have been physical and went to IT, and then here's the benefit of doing those things.
Okay. So let me kind of break that up. So there are existing BVAs that we've done as well as our team in GBS has done that can be leveraged. I don't know all the specifics of additional asset classes, et cetera, but we could look through those. When we typically see an existing client that is not using us on the IT side, there's two ways to approach that, right? One is to move up organizationally to get someone that would kind of care about the vision, whether you tell the Smarter Planet story, tell the whole infrastructure story, and get them to understand or at least buy into that vision, and that could open a door for you to go back down into IT. Give you some air cover. We do see that, and that's a great approach. The other option, and in some cases, one of the things we deal with is that there's still, I don't want to call it a stigma, but in some cases, you might walk into an IT shop and say, well, your operations team's using Maximo, and they're going to say, Maximo, they use that to manage the nuclear reactor. How's that going to manage my IT? So the way there's obviously a subtlety to addressing that question about, look, those servers are pretty complex, or those IT assets are managing software licenses and trying to be more consultative, right? So we can put some examples. Are you in selling in Fed?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd encourage you to talk to Shannon about that, and we have some examples, some of which I can't name on a call, that have gone from facilities and more operational assets to consolidate across into IT and been very successful. So I'd encourage you to talk to Shannon.
Okay. I appreciate that. And one other thing that might be more helpful from an industry perspective versus others would be one of my customers deals with radios. They actually repair, maintain, calibrate radios across the wildland fire agencies of the federal government, and there's like 30,000 radios. And a lot of that work is done in one of the particular locations we've got a good relationship with. So I guess I'm looking for a customer reference for that kind of an approach using Maximo, which may not be government.
Yeah, no, I think we can definitely put one up. It's sort of the high-volume asset tracking with sort of the depot-based refurbishment model. And if you look at, just to give you just a quick example for those on the call, some of the real big Air Force logistics centers use Maximo for something very similar to that, as do, folks of different shapes and sizes in the commercial sector. So Shannon could help you with that, too, as well as Dave Turner, who's our government industry leader.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question comes from Jenny Sparks. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Pete. On chart 13, you give eight examples of business scenarios where there were significant cost savings. Do we have case studies for those eight scenarios that we can use as part of a pitch?
There are some, and the specific points there are, we have some. It depends on the industry. Some we have more than others. But why don't you follow up with me and I can help.
Okay. I'll send you an email.
Great.
And our next question comes from Russ Anderton. Please go ahead.
Hi, Russ.
Hey, Pete, just a quick tactical question. This link in here for the ROI, where does that go? I'm just getting an error message when I hit on it.
The ROI story on slide 25?
Yeah, I think that's it. Let me double check.
It should go to the BVA website, IBM Business Value Analyst.
Oh, okay. Good enough. Thanks.
And within there, it should open up on a Tivoli tab, and then if you scroll down, there's information to get going. If anybody has any issues with the links, just obviously make sure you're in screen show mode, and then feel free to shoot me a note or Sarah a note, and we can point you in the right direction. Does that answer your question, Russ? Okay, I guess so. Operator, any other questions?
Our next question comes from Jim Collins with IBM. Please go ahead.
I have a question for you on chart 15. You've got Maximal Enterprise in the middle, and then you've got, you know, connections. One of them's to procurement management.
Yes.
Are you saying that Maximo has a procurement engine in it, or do we link with other business partners like an Ariba to do things like purchasing,
yep,
auction,
good question,
et cetera?
So there, those boxes around the core, if you will, represent, you know, kind of major functional disciplines that we support in Maximo. So what that means is in Maximo, we support, you know, on the inventory side of the house, you know, item masters inventory, what's in the storeroom, issues and transfers, things like that, which obviously that creates demand for those parts and services that we manage through our own procurement capabilities, whether it's PRs to POs, invoicing, you know, managing that. We do that in Maximo to the point where, you know, we don't have a GL and we kind of push transactions out to the ERP. With that said, the inventory and procurement capabilities, that's a very common area where there's multiple scenarios in which we might integrate to the ERP. So across the board there is bidirectional interfaces to support really what the client requirements are. So we might not manage anything, or we might manage just inventory, and when PRs are cut, the PRs are sent into the ERP, or, you know, there's a variety of different models. So that exists there. To include some e-commerce capabilities that exist, you may hear an acronym called OCS, or Online Commerce Services, where there's to coin a 1999 term, some punch-out capabilities to a marketplace with the buying catalog, that exists as well. We don't, that I'm aware of, do anything specific with, say, Ariba, not to say it hasn't been done. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. So it's linkages into different procurement systems.
Well, we have our own procurement system down to the invoice. That's all Maximo. So PRs, POs, receipts, invoicing, and then all the inventory stuff that sits up in front of that. We do that today. We do that for a lot of our customers. They use Maximo. Certain customers, for certain reasons, standardize on their ERP capabilities for parts of inventory and procurement. So we have to have the flexibility in the solution to be able to integrate and to support certain integration models. So that exists as well.
Okay, so do you have direct linkages into other catalogs like Grainger and other things like that?
Exactly. Through that online commerce service capability I mentioned, as well as, and this is where I love Sametime, I'm being told that services has done and can do integrations to, say, Ariba.
Okay. All right.
Then if you have follow-up, this is kind of a deep topic. You know, definitely follow up with me offline or on that contacts chart. You see Don Busick, EAM,
yep,
Product Management. Don has a lot of depth in this area.
Okay, thanks.
As a reminder,
welcome,
that is star one to ask a question or make a comment. And our next question comes from Derek Darkowski. Please go ahead.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Ken. Hey, I was just going to add to your answer to the person's last question and restate, obviously, someone I am. Yes, we do integrate with Ariba. And having sold it for a long time, I guess another comment I would make in general terms is I usually position it with small customers. As Maximo does have purchasing, it basically does everything except cut the check. So we do have some small customers who actually do their purchasing. out of Maximo. Typically, it's for maintenance and repair items, but we do have a very small number of small customers who actually do all of their purchasing out of Maximo. But typically, when you're selling to a large organization, they do have an ERP in place, and they want you to integrate to it. And for that, we've got an enterprise adapter to integrate with those, but we also have prepackaged, or I guess I'd call it pre-configured Maximo enterprise adapters for SAP and Oracle. Trying to help.
Thank you, Derek.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. So, operator, before we take the next question, I just want to circle back. I know we have captured all the attendees today, and for the federal attendees, obviously this was a pretty commercial profit revenue type of a discussion, and there's some questions otherwise. One of the things we'll do after this call is to all the folks whose you know, titles or org charts clearly identify themselves as public sector, we'll push a snapshot of some of our federal world customers as well as a couple of case studies just to give you a bit more kind of public sector, some public sector depth. That should help. Any additional questions?
And there are no further questions.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank everyone for taking time out of their busy schedules. 5 weeks to go here in Q1, so we appreciate the attention and all the questions. I hope you found this informative. I hope you see and are excited about the Smarter Planner initiative and how asset management fits within that, as well as its ability to align with the world we live in today with regards to the economics. So hopefully leverage this, engage with our sellers, talk to our clients, let's uncover some opportunities, let's crank the engine, and let's drive it forward. And if anyone has any questions, needs support, feel free to contact myself or any of the Maximo folks that are listed on that contact chart. With that, good luck through Q1. Happy selling, and thanks for your attention. Have a good day.
And that concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. Have a good day.